The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. That is one powerful voice in Glenn Campbell. Let me give you a more powerful voice, Vera Gibran. She is running for state legislature here in Legislative District 4. It's a newly created legislative district. I'll let her discuss the contours of it, but it's certainly where I live and certainly where this station operates. She is looking to represent us in November, starting in November's election and the primaries that come up this August. I have to tell you, Vera is endorsed by all the right people. She just received an endorsement from the Center for Arizona Policy's Political Action Committee. She has received an endorsement from me, the great Andy Biggs, the great Nancy Bartow, Make Liberty Win, which is a tremendous national organization. Vera is what I call a game changer. Vera, welcome back to the show.
Oh, God bless you. Thank you. Thank you for your very sincere and loving welcome.
It is very sincere. I mean, the legislature needs you. The state needs you. Many of you may know Vera from previous appearances here. You may know her from her family business. She helped co-found and co-runs U.S. Egg, which is a fantastic restaurant chain here in the Arizona area with, what, six different restaurants?
Yes,
here?
We have them all over the valley.
Fabulous. People should, if they're going to have breakfast, do the patriotic thing. It's a fabulous restaurant chain, and you'll be supporting people who love this country, which is why I wanted to have you in here, Vera.
Thank you.
Right after the July 4th weekend and extending, it's been crowded out by news, but, you know, the news is going to come and go, and we do the durables here, the things that last, as I know you do. Well, tell me about the 4th of July and what it means to you and your family.
Wow. So many things rush into my mind. Well, first of all, thank you again. Thank you so much for having me. It's such an honor and a pleasure to be in your company and in your brilliant conversation. So obviously the word freedom comes to mind. And for me and my family, I started really getting into philosophy quite early in my life, and so much so that my mother would actually make me stop reading and make me go outside and play in the summers. But very early on, I surmised that for me, the word love meant the freedom to be completely as God created me to be, in complete freedom to fulfill my potential without hindrance, without obstacle, but just an absolute unwavering amount of possibility. And that's what love means to me, whether it's in a relationship or whether it's being in this country. An opportunity, having the being in a relationship that allows you to be everything that you have the potential of being. And America afforded me the experience of love, truly, as God created me. And this goes for my family. So when I think about last night, actually, while I was watching the fireworks, I was thinking about my ancestors and their journey to America, how difficult it was and, you know, life-threatening it was. And I recall some of the stories. My great aunt, who I had lived to 98 years old, told me the story of when her first attempt to come to America, she and her sister were diverted actually to Cuba due to an eye condition that she had. And then they had a second go around and they used their womanly wiles to kind of, you know, get past the inspection, and they were able to come to America. And my grandfather, my Jidi Gibran, which is Arabic for my grandfather Gibran, he actually lost his life here in a car accident, which prohibited him from bringing my father and his siblings over. So that's why we waited until really a little bit later in the outbreak of the Civil War that kind of, you know, allowed us for the opportunity to come to America. So the Gibrons have been literally putting their lives on the line to experience the love that America offers, that experience and opportunity to truly live in freedom. And I know that that was kind of a lengthy response.
No, it's the most beautiful response that goes to the heart of the project here. We'll do education and gun rights in a second or on the other side of this break, because I know you have strong views on that. But the notion of love in this country is one that is fading. But it was something our founders understood very well. It's no accident that they put the words "all men are created equal" into writing in the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia. That's what this is about. This is a love project, this country. It was for them, and gosh darn it, I am glad it is for you too. Vera, let me take a quick break. Vera Gibron is our guest. You can go to her website, votevera.com, 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 to help her out and learn more about her. When we come back, we'll see what that love means with respect to education and protecting freedom, the Second Amendment. Don't go away. We'll be right back. The temperature always rises when Vera Gibron comes into a room. Vera Gibron is a candidate for the state legislature. VoteVera.com, VOTEVERA.com. I was talking about fading love and dissipating patriotism right before the break, Vera, coming out of the 4th of July weekend. You look around, you worry about this, or I do, especially when you look at what the Democratic Party is saying, the kinds of stuff you saw out of Pima, that sort of thing. But you don't think it's quite dead yet or even on life support, do you?
I really don't. I believe that it's being PR'd that way. It's being marketed that way. And the powers that be are definitely putting it out there as what's happening. But that's not my experience. It's not the experience of my family. I've been knocking on doors, you know, for the last couple of months, having really meaningful conversations with my constituents. And my observation is that love is robustly alive, both for the country and for each other. And I have absolutely observed a welcomingness amongst different factions and religions and groups. I think it's all baloney.
Good.
that they are PRing that love is dead and that there's divisiveness. And of course, we're always going to have racial issues, but it's not the majority.
I want what you just said to be understood by everyone in earshot, because for several weeks now I've been saying that just because the elites stand for something, what you may get communicated to you through the media and the education institutions and, you know, entertainment, that's not the vast majority of Americans. And what you're saying is exactly that. You knock on doors, you talk to people, they're not where the elites are.
Absolutely.
What Disney
not.
Says is not what people in Scottsdale and Phoenix are
no,
saying.
No, sir. Absolutely.
Fantastic.
Not my experience at all, and not my family's experience either. I mean, we come into contact with probably 1,000 people every day across 6 locations.
Right. Yeah. Vera, I don't know. Education, let's do education for a moment. It's obviously something near and dear to your heart. You've helped educate something like 7 young children, as I understand it.
Yes.
The NEA is meeting this weekend. Here's one view of education. I'd like yours. Here's one view. The NEA put this out today. Bill, you'll like this. Vera, I don't know if you've seen this. The NEA, the National Education Association, is a social justice union that is a majority female and trans and gender nonconforming group of people who will fight against attacks on our members, students, families, and communities and the reproductive rights of all persons who are able to. They can't say the word woman. Vera. That's one view of education. It's social justice meant to protect the members of the NEA. What's your view of education?
Well, first of all, the fact that they can't say woman is very sad. Yeah. Because I certainly enjoy being one. It's a lot of people are being deprived here. So it's my understanding that transgenderism really applies to 0.06 of 1% of the population. This is not inclusive as they are. Their agenda is not inclusive as they are claiming. My perspective of education is a very pragmatic and practical one. It acknowledges multiple fronts. One of the things that I want to champion and continue championing in this country is the innovative and powerful American spirit that truly only lives here. And it's because of the way that we educate. We bring up our children multitasking, doing sports, doing music, doing chess and debate. And so we're producing these extraordinary world citizens that are innovators and that are forward thinking and are futurists. Other countries really rely on a lot of memorization, but when it comes to execution, it's zero. So I definitely want to focus on that American spirit. In addition to that, we need to bring back civics training, because sadly, a lot of our citizens don't understand what their role is and the power of their movement and their voice is. That needs to be reinstated. Obviously, and always, reading, science, math, writing, those are our basic tenets that need to be revamped. And in addition to that, we need to bring in 21st century learning, which, you know, of course, Seth, you and I, when we went to school, we didn't have to film, edit. We didn't need to PR ourselves. Right. So there's an entire set of 21st century skills that are required for our children to be functioning and productive citizens. That would include every school having a green room so that they can learn how to film and edit, PR themselves, market themselves, public speaking skills. And of course, financial literacy has become extremely important. Whether you believe in the crypto movement or not, it is coming, and our children need to be learned in that faction as well. Now, something that is not getting any PR and not getting any love is the vocations.
When you
and I were children,
right,
we were in junior year, senior year, we had the opportunity to be, you know, learn mechanics, mm-hmm, you know, car mechanics, electricians, plumbing.
We called it shop class, but
exactly,
yeah, vo-tech or some version of that, right?
So here's an listen, we have learned that college is not for everybody.
Right.
If you have the opportunity to learn, you know, take shop just as a shortcut, mm-hmm, we'll call
mm-hmm
it shop.
Mm-hmm.
For in junior and senior year, you have the option of leaving high school, being a productive citizen and well earning as well, rather than going to college, especially if you know it's not for you. Rather than going to college and accruing debt for the next 4 or 5 years while you are running two jobs and, you know, you're like exhausted by the time you're 25. This is ridiculous. Those options need to come back. Everything that doesn't really need, you know, surgical training.
Mm-hmm.
We could do beauticians.
Mm-hmm.
I've, you know, like most people who live in my district, I have the privilege of getting my nails done. And I'm speaking to my technicians, and they're closing up their shops because the Asian groups are now, they've all sent their children to college.
Mm-hmm.
And so first and second generation Asians can't fill those positions. Mm-hmm. This is a great opportunity to be addressed during junior and senior year.
And I think it's also something that more and more parents, I hope, are beginning to realize, you know, there are good colleges and there are not good colleges. There
Absolutely.
Are good programs within not good colleges. There are good terrible programs within great colleges. It's not for everybody, and God forbid we send our kids to places where they learn to become indoctrinated to hate this country, which is unfortunately more and more the case. I love the idea of bringing back skills, teaching skills in high school. We could use a lot more of that. One more segment with Vera Gibran when we come right back. VoteVera.com, running for state legislature. My gosh, this woman will be a game changer in the legislature. You do not want to miss the opportunity to have Vera Gibran in the state legislature. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. Vera Gibran has been our guest. She just taught me some French philosophy over the break. Napoleon evidently said girls like guys with skills. They certainly good, good. Vera, Second Amendment. I know you get asked about it a lot, certainly in the wake of Hyland. Just say a word or two about where you are on the Second Amendment, any way you want.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, the Second Amendment. So my lineage, I'll tell you a little bit about my background. I'm Lebanese. I'm a Lebanese immigrant. I come from a country where women are traditionally demure and ladylike. And my grandmothers, men were absent from our home during the Civil War. So we were particularly vulnerable. And both of my grandmothers, from one end of their house to the other, underneath the floorboards, we were completely equipped to defend ourselves. My grandmothers were 4'6" and about 5 feet tall. So that's one aspect of it. The other I like, which is a little bit more serious, is I come from a village called Zahli, Lebanon. And in 1981, an infiltration was happening. And due to the terrain, the Lebanese military based in Beirut was not able to get Zahli the equipment it needed to defend itself. And so from April to June in 1981, the citizens of this village, which was comprised of, I think, approximately 250 homes, every citizen above the age of 14 took up arms. Every young boy, 14, 15, 16 years old, put their life on the line. We surrounded our village 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for 3 months nonstop in opposition to that invasion. And I can tell you, Seth, though my immediate family wasn't in Lebanon any longer, my cousins, my aunts, my uncles, they were all there. Every household perished, including my family's households. Every one of us paid a price for freedom. It was 14-year-olds, 15-year-olds, 16, 17-year-olds losing their lives, putting their lives on the line for their independence and their continued freedom. So that is how I feel about the Second Amendment.
No compromise, no surrender.
Zero, ever, under any circumstance. Not even an inch, ever.
Not an inch. VoteVera.com. Vera Gibran for state legislature, folks. I'll say it again. Do not turn down the opportunity to have this great citizen, this great American, this great woman in your state legislature. VoteVera.com. 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 LD4. Vera, bless you and thank you.
God bless you.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.